Hi, this is Brooke Devard from Naked Beauty. Are you tired of feeling housebound? I sure am. Break free with the new Unbound Cordless Auto Curler from Conair. It's a high-performance auto curler that's rechargeable and gives you up to 60 minutes of cord-free runtime. Just think of all of the incredible hair looks you can create in 60 minutes, unbound, away from your wall. Don't get tied down by cords. Love your look. Live unbound. Check it out at Conair.com and search Unbound.
It's Five Step Friday here on The Ginny Show with Ginny Sarasvati, your humble host for this Friday afternoon. It tends to be the most favorite day of the week because people look forward to weekends. I'm trying to change that with my podcast to create content, inspiration, stories, and guests who live a life they love every single day. And I'm joined on the line by Jim Brown. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Ginny. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much for joining me on this Five Step Friday. You're actually about to unpack five steps that are really crucial to living a happier life. And this is five steps to simplify and expedite success with money and love. Now, it seems people either look for money or they look for love, but when it comes to having both, not everyone is so fortunate.
I agree. And I learned a lot of the lessons by making a lot of mistakes along the way, you know, fixing things along the way and getting better at making decisions. So yeah, it's a process.
When it comes to love and money, I guess that I think the law of flow kind of applies to both when it comes to how, you know, when it comes to universal laws, when it comes to how much you give out is how much you come back. So I guess the law of karma applies to that too. But I'd love to hear your strategic five steps to simplify and expedite success with money and love. Let's kick it off with step one, Jim.
There's five steps, and the first step is very logical. Where do I start? Pretty logical, right? So just to preface, what I found when I started really diving into money and not necessarily love per se, but more mindset in the context of the big three, money, relationships, and health, is that there are a lot of common threads, and you can apply them. Once you become an expert in one area, you can apply them. So where do I start with money and love? With money, it's really simple, and I think people know this intuitively, but I don't think they put the name on it. It's the risk-free rate. Before you start investing, whether it's in a CD or an index fund or a stock or anything, you really want to know what you can earn without taking risk, right? In other words, if you're going to put your money at risk, you're not starting at zero. You're first starting with the risk-free rate.
When you said risk-free rate, I'm like, okay, that sounds like some form of a trading term, which I'm not very good at maths and economics. I kind of fell asleep during class at school, so do elaborate.
So it's so simple, but it's critical to really keep that concept in mind. So what does it mean? When your money is in a bank in the United States, it's backed by the U.S. government, right? So there's really no risk. So if you're in a savings account that earns 1 or 1.5%, you know that the following month, your account won't lose value. Similarly, with a CD, as long as you keep the money in a CD, a certificate of deposit for 3 months or a year or several years, there's no risk of loss because the government backs those banks that issue the CDs to you. So they're a risk-free rate.
Just to back up on the terminology, just so I can learn and the Ginny Show listeners can learn as well. So you talked about this. Did you say CV as in V for Vortex?
No. CD, Certificate of Deposit.
Ah, gotcha. It must be a term that's very American because I think we just call it a deposit slip in Australia. But I do like that you broke that down for me. Thank you, Jim. No, it's all making sense so far.
So the key term, and I'm glad this is great that you're asking these questions because I'm kind of defaulting to my home base here in New York.
Yeah.
But the main thing, the concept is what's backing this? So whether it's the Australian government or the UK government, European Union, if someone's backing something, right, then and it's considered risk-free. And here in the United States, the FDIC backs it.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a guarantor type situation when you apply it to putting your money away, if that makes sense. So it's like you're having some form of backing. It's like when you go to apply for a house, you have a guarantor. Or what do you call it here, a backup signing? I don't know what you call it in America. But
a guarantor is fine.
Yeah, so it's kind of similar. If you have someone backing you, that's a risk-free investment.
You miss your mortgage 1 month. You have someone that has your back, that sort of thing.
Great. So where do I start is a great step one.
And I'm going to tell you exactly where to go. Do you want me to give some practical advice too to your listeners?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I want to keep it real. Go to bankrate.com. And just look at highest savings rates in a savings account, right? That's risk-free, meaning you have access to that immediately, right? Because the way it works is typically the longer you have your money locked in, the higher the rate should be. In other words, if you have your access to your money now, you can earn more than 1% now, definitely. You can go up to like 1.85, I think, right now in a savings account. And then next, you lock your money up for, let's say, a year or two. So maybe you'll get 2% and down the line, right? So that's the issue with the risk-free rate. You want to consider, if I'm locking my money up for 5 years and you can get a CD for 3%, and you can go on Bankrate, you could find it, or shoot me an email if you need help with this, but you can find it there. So if you're considering investing your money for 5 years in a stock or a fund or something, you better be earning more than that because you're at risk. So that's the key. Where do I start? You're not starting at home plate. You kind of have a lead, or you're not starting at the starting line. You're starting 3% ahead.
Gotcha. So this is like a long-term strategy for putting away your money. So if you're putting it away for X amount of years, you want some return on that investment, which is generally in the form of interest rates or stocks or whatever it may be.
Above the risk-free rate.
Above the risk-free rate.
It has to be higher than the risk-free rate if you're putting it at risk, yes.
Wow. This is great. I mean, why weren't you my economics teacher, Jim? This is far more interesting than what I was taught in you.
You know what the problem is? I should have moved to Australia and I didn't. I mean, the surfing, you have world-class surfing and scuba diving. And what was I thinking?
We also have 5 prime ministers in a 2-year span. So, you know, we're full of entertainment there. Nothing kind of stays still.
Keeping things moving along. That's great.
Great. So where do I start is step number one. And A is go to bankrate.com. I'd like to do step one, money and love.
Are you ready for love?
Right. I'm ready for love.
I mean, the step one for love. Okay, here we go. The first step is obvious too, understanding yourself, right? What's most in love? The first step. Where do I start? We'll start with you as an individual. What's most important to you in the context of relationships, whether it's trust, caring, whatever it is? What do you stand for? And here's one that I think about, and I think is important for everyone to think about. How much am I willing to grow and change?
I was just about to say that because my number one thing was a solid spiritual practice that involves personal growth.
Yeah. And then how much are you okay with your partner or prospective partner, depending on the length and type of relationship, how comfortable are you with them growing and changing, right? Because changes could be risky for people. So first getting a handle on how much growth you're willing to be open to and the person you're committing to or whatnot, Lauren. And you know, what do you value? What do you stand for? So that's just basic, just to get you started. That's where I typically start.
I love how you started with something like that, because some people find that pretty scary. Because when you think about your partner growing, and you talk about the risk factor of it all, because growth can mean you outgrow things as well.
To the extent you want me to be personal and self-disclosure, you know, that scared me when I was young, like in my 20s and teens. Like, wow, what if this person doesn't like me anymore? You know, they outgrow me. It happens. Right. I mean, you get your heart broken and stuff like this, but it's a real risk that I found. Right. And that growth and change stuff and becoming more secure with yourself and who you are and what you stand for as you get older, I found helps you mitigate that risk and fear.
Absolutely. So when it comes to the second step that we're talking about, so you kind of gave us starting points when it comes to love and money, which is great. We're introspect into where we should kind of look within and, you know, really make clear our intention. What would that lead to for the second step?
Second step is always, who do I trust?
Is that for both love and money?
Yes. That's step two. Where do I start? Step one. Then you go right. Once you get step one button down, you go right to who do I trust? Critical, right? So look, I'll get right to the point. You have to trust yourself. And really what it is, it's like kind of like a process, right? You want to trust yourself more. The more confident you become, the more clear you become in yourself and what's important to you as an investor and as a person, you know, that relates to other people in love and in other contexts that are important. Who do I trust, right? So in addition to yourself, obviously, when you hire someone as an expert, the first thing I want to know, do they walk the walk? Is this person achieving the results that they're purporting to help me achieve? How much skin do they have in their own game that they're selling me on? How successful have they been at following their own strategy? So those are the types of things that I think before I hire a consultant or an expert.
Right. So you kind of, who do I trust, which kind of can lead to, you know, do I talk to an expert? Do I talk to someone who can really give me that value exchange in terms of what I'm looking for?
Yeah. In other words, yeah, I go to a doctor and you have strep throat. They're like, yeah, take this antibiotic. And it's like, hey, this works. This is good. This makes sense. They're getting results. or it's a financial advisor. This asset allocation strategy over time works, or index funds outperform actively managed funds. So whatever the strategy is, you want to make sure you're not taking it at face value. You actually understand. And even better, if the individual has their own skin in the game, you're getting into a real estate investment. And you know, if this person has a track record of success with other investors and similar projects that you're considering investing in, and they have skin in the game, that would give me a little more comfort than someone that is more at a distance, just giving you advice without any of their own skin in the game, their own money in the game.
I was just thinking about, what do you think about life coaches who are like 20 years old?
It's really simple to me. I look at qualified versus certified as one. In other words, regardless of what certifications you have, are you qualified? Do you get results? And you know, the general as a rule of thumb, I'm older, in my early 50s. It's easy to say, well, I have more life experience. But, you know, times are changing, and I really don't know about certain things that some younger people may have an edge on me. So it really depends on the area of expertise that I'm seeking help with. For example, I know a 22, well, he's probably in his mid-20s now, this guy Chandler Bolt. He started a business in self-publishing, and he's a kid that was an average student, self-professed, you know, he's an average student. So, you know, this stuff happens where people, you know, can be young and they really do amazing things and could coach you if you're interested in getting good at something. So, yeah, it depends.
Hi, this is Brooke Devard from Naked Beauty. Are you tired of feeling housebound? I sure am. Break free with the new Unbound Cordless Auto Curler from Conair. It's a high-performance auto curler that's rechargeable and gives you up to 60 minutes of cord-free runtime. Just think of all of the incredible hair looks you can create in 60 minutes unbound away from your wall. Don't get tied down by cords. Love your look. Live unbound. Check it out at Conair.com and search Unbound.
I'm the same as you, Jim. I'm pretty much open to what it says beyond the business card. You know, if you can have a conversation and you can give me value in that exchange that we have, I think what it comes down to is, and this is my entire premise for the podcast, everything can change with a conversation. Like you and I, we've never spoken before, but we're speaking on this and there's, you know, a great conversation happening here. And it literally takes an investment of minutes and time that you can go away and create something together. So we're creating this podcast as a result of our conversation. But when it comes to a life coach or whatnot, if there is, yeah, a qualification.
I want to give you and your audience really the stuff that I use every day. Here we go. Keep these three things in mind before you hire anybody. Competence, ethics, caring. Let me explain. First, you want to make sure they're competent. They'll get you the result you want. Two, they'll do it in an ethical way. Three, they care about you genuinely. And those are the three things I look at when I hire someone or consider hiring someone, because even if they're competent, if they really don't care about me or they don't go about doing things in an ethical way, I don't really want a part of that. So I really, to the extent I can, I want to get high marks on all three.
You've given us some deeper insight there. Thank you so much for that. Let's hit back to the third step on how to expedite success for love and money.
Excellent. The third step is smart decision making. So what you want to do is, I think of two things. A, compared to what? And B, what compelling reasons do I have for the probability of a favorable outcome? Let me unpack that if I could. So when I, in context of money and investing, when I say compared to what, this is in the context of making smart decisions, I want to know what I'm aiming at, a benchmark, a standard. So one would be the risk-free rate, which I spoke about earlier. And then the second would be, in the States, people invest trillions of dollars in mutual funds, right? And you can compare your mutual fund to a benchmark. So you want to make sure that you want to have reasons that you believe that the investment that you chose will be better than or at least as good as the benchmark. So let's say you go for a haircut and if you look disheveled when you walk out, that would be below the benchmark. But if you look like ready to walk on a news set, that would be far above. You would be outperforming the benchmark. And everybody else is in the middle. So the benchmark is like the standard that you're shooting for. You want to make sure you're comparing it. You're at least getting the benchmark.
So when it comes to looking for love and money, like let's relate that to love. What's the benchmark for love? Is that going back to, you know, where do I start? Like what you're looking for in a person?
Absolutely. So the bench, it's obviously much more complicated with love or any relationship. I don't have a checklist for this because people are different. Relationships are different. It's more complicated. But You start with you. What's important for you? You are the benchmark. And also your past relationships, right? You can look at them. It's not really scientific where you could say, oh, I have to have this much more fun in this relationship.
Yeah.
Or this much more emotional connection. It's more of, you know, an awareness that grows. So one of the things you'd like to, I think, get confident in is that how confident am I that this person and I will continue to be compatible as we both grow and change? You know, can I trust this person in life circumstances within and outside of the relationship as circumstances change in life? So this is kind of like, you know, speaking from experience, you know, lots of things change. Your career becomes more demanding. Your relationship stresses, not even if there's any, if it's not a contentious thing, could be just a stress. Someone gets sick or something like that. So, you know, how much do you trust this person? How compatible do you think you will be as things change and you grow?
That's fantastic, the benchmark talk. And I think also there are certain traditions that people have in certain rituals where they write down the 10 things they want in their next partner, which is similar to this. They are kind of being in the exercise of setting the benchmark.
Absolutely. And again, most importantly, you want to trust yourself. You know, in any type of relationship, is this the right career for me? Is this the right company for me? Are these the right friends for me? Are we really, you know, have things in common and we enjoy each other's company? So just simple, basic things to keep in mind like that.
What's the fourth step to simplify and expedite success with money and love?
The fourth step is, this is another simple one, is understanding what I call the definitions of money and love.
Ooh.
And I know this sounds really simple, but, you know, you'd be surprised, you know, if I asked 100 people, what is your definition of money? You know, it's one of those things in love, right? We feel it every day and money, we use it every day. But when you ask, what does that mean? You know, you may have to stop and think. So what is money? So there's, think of money in terms of functions and characteristics. Most people are familiar with the term medium of exchange, right? You go to work, you get money from your employer, or if you have your own business, you get money from a client, and then you use that money to acquire the things you want and need, your rent, mortgage, food, transportation, et cetera, entertainment. So the things to think about with money, the most important things are the medium of exchange and the store of value. Those are the two things, because if you think about it, you're giving value, your time. Right now, you're giving value to your listeners. Hope I am too. And they're getting value, or you're a consultant and you provide consulting services or whatever you do. You're giving value and receive value in return in the form of money. And then you use that money to acquire things. So you have to store it somewhere. You store it in money. And then you literally store that money in a bank account, usually initially.
You've talked about money in a great way where, you know, you look about, think of the value of love and money in your life, but especially money. The way I see money is the rate I put against the use of my time, what it takes away from my life, if that makes sense.
Love it. I absolutely love that. And that's an exercise I think it's great that you're doing it. I encourage everyone to do it, is how much is my time worth? Because then you could think about hiring other people to do things that may not be worth your time.
Absolutely. How are we going to relate that to love? Is it, again, coming back to what is love to me? What does love look like?
This is such a great question. I love it. So this is the question. And now, I'm a CPA back in the day, and I'm a forensic consultant, and I do mindset consulting and stuff like that. But, you know, so this is really like a big reveal for me to do this, but I've been considering this for like years, like what is love? So I'm not saying I have the definition of love for everybody, but this is what I believe the common thread through all real love, especially long-term love. And this is it. Let me take a step back. What's most important to people in life, I think, are the quality of their experiences and the quality of their relationship. And I think one of the greatest experiences in life in the context of relationships is love. What I believe is this. I believe that love is simply a commitment to well-being.
That's quite a good definition, a commitment to well-being.
And this is why, if you think about it, if I love myself, I'm committed to my well-being. I'm committed to keeping myself healthy, you know, getting sleep and eating well and exercising. If I'm committed to someone else's well-being, make sure they feel cared for, understood, et cetera, you know, I really care about them. And it's not really an all or nothing, if that makes sense. That's where I find the value in that definition, where it's like, you know, you can love people more or less, actually.
This actually unpacks a certain theory I've been, not a theory, but I think an idea that I've been exploring, is that what you talked about, a commitment to well-being, because, you know, you read all these self-help books and you watch Oprah or listen to Super Soul Conversations, and I guess a reoccurring theme that I've picked up is when it comes to love, you know, the dialogue is around it. If you can't love yourself, then you can't love anyone else. But it also goes down to an extra layer of if you can't commit to well-being for yourself, it's hard for you to grasp that for someone else.
I strongly agree with you.
So, okay, Jim, you've given us some awesome tips. Where do I start? Who do I trust? Set a benchmark. Define money and love for yourself. What is the final tip for 5 steps to simplify and expedite success when it comes to money and love?
This is my favorite of all, okay? There's sort of like two guideposts or two guardrails, if you will, as I go through the journey of life, ready? And this is where they come from, Shakespeare and RuPaul.
I love it.
Now, you know this is going to be fun, right?
They both dressed in drag, so it makes it.
Yeah. But I really, this is it. And here it is. I was sitting in just a quick backstory. So I was sitting in high school and I wasn't a great student. You know, I was probably talking to my friends, but we were watching the school do this performance of Hamlet, right? And this just caught my attention. They said, this above all things, I turn my head so I don't self be true, right? I said, wow, that just struck me. That really makes sense. So this thing, be true to yourself, has stuck with me my whole life since that day. I was a teenager. And then the other story with RuPaul, I think I was in Turks and Caicos, you know, on vacation or whatever. You know, Supermodel came out, the song, you know, You Better Work. And I heard this song. I said, wow, he's got a really good point. You know, you can't just show up on set as a supermodel and think, you know, you're going to be a superstar. There's a lot of work that goes behind that, you know, keeping fit and all that. And I really apply on a daily basis, important stuff. Those two things are my guideposts. Be true to yourself. And really be serious that you're going to commit to doing the work when you decide on a goal.
Strategize and execute, essentially.
Yeah, strategize and execute and being true to yourself throughout the process.
Right. Some people lose sight of that. Sometimes I have to catch myself and think about the bigger picture because like what you said about the supermodel theory, yes, I can't just rock up to a runway and expect to, you know, have Vogue throwing cover editions at me going, yes, Ginny, you're our cover girl. I need to work for that or whoever, you need to work for that goal. And sometimes it's a matter of thinking about one foot in front of the other, one step at a time, as opposed to the overall big picture. Because we tend to lose patience when we think about the bigger picture all the time and not think about the steps to get there.
Oh my gosh. And plus there's the challenges that you're prepared for in life and then the ones that are unexpected too. You're stuck in traffic.
Exactly. Exactly. Sometimes I don't drive here. Since I moved to New York, I don't really drive. In Australia, I drive because, you know, public transport isn't as frequent as it here is in New York. But one thing I do notice is I try not to get angry in traffic because there's no point. Because you're literally yelling into a brick wall. You're not going to move anywhere. Really? Where are you going?
It's actually brilliant and healthy that you do that. I think it's super.
I tried it. I don't always succeed. Sometimes if my partner always tells me that the line that she knows when I'm annoyed is I always go, come on, mate. What are you doing? When I drop a mate in there, you know you've pissed Ginny off. I tried to say
that. Someone cut you off on the road or did something silly.
Absolutely. Jim, thank you so much for your time today. You've given us such valuable information on how to simplify and expedite success in money and love, which some people just need to shine a light on those things to get started for them. So thank you so much for your time. Where can we find you?
Thank you as well. This was such a pleasure. Thank you. I had so much fun chatting with you. You can find me at clearandconfidentinvesting.com, just like it sounds.
Clearandconfidentinvesting.com. So we'll be putting that in the show notes as well as all your tips and steps and website references that you've made. So that'll be in our show notes. Thank you so much, Jim, for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ginny. Have a wonderful weekend. It was great.
It's time to party. The Ginny Show.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. It's our biggest sale of the year where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.